Welcome back to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Now, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Ron Luce. Ron, there's so many kids today in these dual-parent families where they switch from one parent to the other every week. What happens when the parents don't agree on the values?
Well, this is a challenge that a lot of people are facing, obviously, right now. And I get parents talking to me about this all the time as I travel. And I would say, first of all, if you're the parent that's trying to have decent moral values and the other one, many times out of guilt, lets the kid do whatever they want, watch whatever they want, because they want to endear the kid to them and say, oh, you're the fun parent, or you're the one that lets me do whatever I want. Then first of all, I would make sure that if you're that parent that's the trying to do the right thing, that you lean in 10 times more relationally so your kid is leaning into you. Again, whoever owns their heart will then have the greatest influence on their life. So you can have dad that's letting them have all the fun and stuff. The dad won't have the most influence if you own their heart relationally. And so if you lean in like that, ultimately then, as you teach them values and you say, well, these are the rules in our house, and they'll say, well, how come I don't have to do that with dad? Why do you make me do that here? And you try to do your very best to teach them the why. You know, a lot of times when our kids are small, they say, well, why? And we say, well, it's because it's the rule that why. That's why. But as our kids get older, we need to teach them why so they can make wise decisions for themselves. And what your job is going to have to be as a single parent in that situation is to teach them the why so strong that even though they may be allowed to do something different in the other parent's home, they would choose not to. Now, it's not impossible. But like, for example, I mean, I know of homes where the other parent will give the kid condoms and say, sure, go ahead and have sex. It's no problem at all. And you're on the other side of that trying to go, okay, let me show you what purity is all about and why it's good to save yourself for marriage. And you teach them to see through the most of the freedoms, quote unquote, that are illicit or immoral are really destructive. And if you give them data and pictures and stories and scenarios and teach them to see through it so they can make the wise decision on their own, then it really won't matter what the other parent lets them do. You could train them. It's not an easy, it's not a quick process, but it is possible.
Let's talk about pornography, and let me read something to you that I read recently. There's right now more than 400 million pornographic web pages. Every single technological advance on the internet has been driven by the porn industry, an industry that makes more money, get this, than every Major League Baseball team, NFL football team, NBA basketball team combined. Talk to us about pornography.
Well, it's about a $57 billion industry, and I think the most insidious thing about it is that they go after our young people. Okay, about 95% of kids on the web doing their homework regularly have had some kind of an illicit sexual presentation. The average now viewer of a pornography, the first view is like 9 years old, the first time they see it, and so they're knowing that if they can get kids to watch it, and a lot of times it's free, there's an erototoxin that goes off in your mind when you actually see it. So it makes you feel like you're high, and like it's like a drug. And so they go back again and again and again. And then what's happening as a result, you got some of these kids that have been addicted to pornography all their teen years. Then they get married. They're 20, 21. They can't have a normal sexual relationship with the person that they marry. So they got to have Viagra, and they're only 20 years old. It's really messing up their minds. It creates complete new neural pathways in their brain that are not healthy. So as a mom or dad, what I would say to you, please listen. Make sure your computer is in the front room. Do not let your kids have a computer in their bedroom. And even if it's there, if they got a laptop, just don't let them use it there. Make sure you've got protection on your computer. There's all kinds of software that you can get, CyberSitter, NetNanny, all kinds of things you can get to protect your kids. And they're going to whine because sometimes those things screen out a little bit too much. They go, I can't get to my favorite website or whatever. But you know what? You got one chance to raise your kids. Let's do it right and protect them, because of the addictive nature of this pornography, if they start getting the appetite for it, you just don't know where it's going to end up at. And, you know, it's a crime against our children, really, that they would these guys, you know, that invent this pornography, they're just dirty old men that are trying to make a buck, and they don't care who they make it off of. They don't care what they do to our children. And so let's be smarter than them and make sure, even if you've got young children, that you protect your kids now, protect their eyes, their ears. And it's not just the horrible pornography like on the internet, but even soft porn that comes through MTV and things like this that are really and truly, you know, people stripping down to their underwear is just as much pornography. Let's be careful what we expose them to and not allow them to kind of let the Hollywood tell them what sex and relationships ought to be about.
Ron Luce, you've written or co-written a number of books, Battle Cry for a Generation, Guard Your Heart, It's Only a Tattoo, Power of One, When Teens Pray. Let's talk a little bit about some of the chapters in It's Only a Tattoo. One you talk about, quote, "You don't understand, they're my friends, and you can't pick my friends."
You know, that's a statement that's been repeated millions of times over the, you know, probably every day over the country. And I'll tell you, moms and dads, you can have a lot more influence on who your kids' friends are than what you think. A lot of parents just surrender and they go, well, what are you going to do? They're at school, they're making friends, I can't figure, I choose who they're going to hang out with. You know, the time they spend at school, especially free time, is very small compared to the rest of their life. So you don't have control who they hang out at school, but you do have control over, you know, what youth group they go to, what church they go to, what friends are hanging out with after school and doing homework. Are they going to the mall? Who are they hanging out with there? And moms and dads, I just encourage you, you need to know every one of your kids' friends. Whoever they're hanging out with, you need to really, really know them. In fact, I would encourage you to get to know their parents because you want to know what values are being communicated in their homes. One of the things that my wife Katie and I learned when our kids were really small from some people that had already raised their kids, they said they wished so bad that they had never let their kids stay the night at anybody else's house because it seems that's when all the trouble started. And so we just made a decision for our own kids, we weren't going to let them stay the night unless there were what we called covenant friends. That is, the parents we knew so, so well that we knew their heart, we knew their values. They were going to raise their kids the same way that we did, and they cared about them like that, so no foolishness would happen. And so their whole life, they got to stay the night at like three different people's house that even sometimes relatives they couldn't stay the night at. But we just felt like it's so important. We don't want our 9, 10, 11-year-old hearing something perverted in a bedroom.
Anything is possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Ron Luce, the co-founder, with his wife Katie, and president of Teen Mania Ministries. Ron, how do we learn more about Teen Mania Ministries, your books, etc.?
Well, if you log on to battlecry.com, you can get information about this brand new book I've been referring to, that Recreate, Building a Culture in Your Home, Stronger Than the Culture, Destroying Your Kids. And you can click right there and get some free downloads as well at battlecry.com. And any of the books you can order there, but particularly this one for parents, every parent in America ought to have. In fact, there's a book there for teens as well, Recreating Your World and Showing Kids How They Can Rise Up and Be the Influence in Their World. In addition to that, you know, we have events. In fact, we'll be up in Michigan in just a couple of weeks there at the Palace at Auburn Hills, and we'd love to have you come with your kids, maybe bring their friends. If you click on battlecry.com, you can get more information about that event and how you can register to come. It'll be a big event, bands, and it'll be fun and cool. It's Friday night, all day Saturday night, and bring your youth group or just bring your kids and their friends. And so at battlecry.com, or you can call us at 1-800-299-TEEN, 299-8336.
Ron, how do I get my son or daughter to be enthusiastic?
Well, you know, without a dream, without a sense of hope or some goals, then it's hard to just get them to be enthusiastic for the sake of being enthusiastic. Many times that goal might be in form of, you know, sports accomplishment. It might be in terms of a, you know, hey, I'm going to be driving in a year. You know, do you want to start earning money for a car? Hey, I'll help you match. I'll match whatever you earn. It's giving them a carrot out there that, you know, something to work for. And, you know, you might start with some small goals that you achieve, and kids get self-esteem when they go, wow, I can really do that, whatever they earn, may have earned money for, or they something they may have accomplished at school. But then giving them kind of teasing them, what do you with a goal and with a dream, with a sense of hope, I'm going to go in a certain direction. Kids get despondent when there's really no goal in their life. And there's a lot of kids like this today. You know, they don't feel like they're smart enough. Their parents aren't going to pay for them to go to driver's ed, so they're never going to get their license. They're not smart enough to really go to college, and they, you know, they've really never been the funny guy, and they don't have a great personality, and they just kind of get pretty despondent, and they, you know, you start finding them not, you know, trying to work hard for tests or, you know, do well in school, and there's really nothing for them. It's not going to amount to anything for them. And so moms and dads, I think one of our biggest jobs as parents is to dream with our kids and provoke our kids to dream, and then become their biggest champion in helping them to accomplish that dream, whether that's a school they're going to go to for college, or, you know, career they're going to have, or things that they're going to accomplish while they're young, whether that's baseball teams or Pinewood Derby, or, you know, things like Boy Scouts and merit badges and things that they're earning, that we're right there with them, helping them accomplish by giving them a dream, first of all, and that drives them and motivates them.
Ron, how do I get my son or daughter to find and accept Christ in their life? They don't want to go to church with me.
Well, that's a problem. You know, we have a lot of people, a lot of young people who feel like Jesus is, you know, it's for old people. It's for people that are just about when they're about ready to die, and they need to pray so they can go to heaven. And one of the things we've tried for all these years to do is to make sure that the message of the Bible is put into teenage language so they get it. And so the first step I would say for parents is do your very best to live it. You know, it's easy to kind of point your finger and say, you need God, or you need forgiveness, or you need to repent, or whatever. But, you know, the message is in our life. And if we're doing our best to live it, and that doesn't mean we're perfect, but it means when we make mistakes that we admit it, you know, that we don't, you know, lie and tell white lies, and we don't, you know, blatantly, you know, keep change when it's too much is given to us and things like that. It's all a message to our kids. And then I would say, make sure you get them into a church that has a thriving youth group where, and there are a lot of churches like this all over the Detroit area that really they care about, a church that cares about kids. You know, you got a lot of churches that they cater to the adults. You can tell by their Sunday morning service. There's nothing about kids there. You can tell by the way people dress. You can tell by how the sanctuary at the church is decorated and so forth. There are some churches that really do prioritize kids. They have a youth hangout place. They've got youth leaders and youth pastors. They've got mentors there that are college age to help your kids. I think one of the most important things we can do, and this is how you can affect the peers your kids have, is get them in a church where there are kids who are there that really do love God, that really do want to honor their parents, and then they become the peers of your kids. And even my own kids, you know, we started going to a new church, and they love God, but they didn't really like this church. But I knew they had great peers that I wanted my kids to start hanging around with. So I just said as a parent, well, we're going to go here, so you just kind of get used to it. And after a while, you keep going and going. And in fact, what we told our kids is you can't just go to youth group, but we want you to volunteer and be a part. And as a result, they, you know, they're there cleaning up afterwards, or they're in the youth band, and they start volunteering, and they start making their friends, and their social network becomes those kids. So you can affect who their social network is by placing them in the right group.
Talk to us about obesity amongst teenagers today.
Well, it really seems to be a rising problem. You know, type 2 diabetes is growing and so forth. It starts when they're children. And I think it's all about this lack of discipline. We have a entertainment and a comfort kind of culture that we live in. Just let me do something and be occupied with my eyes or my ears with movies and stuff, and let me, you know, have a comfort food more or less that just keeps my mouth occupied. And we don't want our children when they're small to whine. Okay, I'll give you those Cheetos, and I'll give you this Coke, and I'll give you this, and pretty soon, you know, it's a downward spiral for them, a very, very unhealthy downward spiral, as we well know. And so it affects their self-esteem and all those things. And so, you know, moms and dads, we need to be thinking about physical health, spiritual health, emotional health, social health. Like, what are the wise things that our kids ought to be doing and living and to have a wholesome life? And it may require us to change some of our own habits, because, you know, a lot of American adults are overweight.